Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. It's me, your non-expert Eric, and who's that sitting next to me? Well, that's you, listener. We've already been talking for a little bit. Up at the front of the bus is Metzger. Metzger, me and the listener have been talking about what it feels like to be mana drained and then to like drink a mana potion and what it feels like when you got lots of mana. What does mana feel like? And my answer is that I don't know what as specifically mana feels like, but I do know what a mana potion feels like. And like, if for me, it's that like first sip of a cold Diet Coke.
Eric, all of this is a moot point because really what we need to be discussing is if you could jump into a magical painting where you could eat your fill but not pay the price in calories, would you do it?
Oh, for fucking sure, Metzi.
Just eat myself absolutely stupid. Is there a Korean barbecue one?
Here's something that we're not thinking about in this moment. You ready for this? Is that I personally, if I knew that all of the people in the painting weren't like real people, or at least not currently alive people.
Eric, are you going to eat the people in the paintings?
No, I would just feel
no. Oh my god. Oh, I thought you were going cannibalistic for a second.
What is that? The creatures that you know, they eat people and then they become like fucking cursed?
Wendigos. What's the
Wendigos? Yeah, that's how I become a painting Wendigo. I just have to forever eat paint.
A Renaissance Wendigo.
I'm just over here, like, drooling at the lips at the Mona Lisa. And somebody next to me that's a fucking creeper is like, yeah, I know, she looks hot, right? And I'm like, you don't understand. You don't get it.
The hunger.
I'm seeing like an Italian portrait of like Jesus on the cross, and I'm just like, let me just get a little bit of that corner. Just,
I mean, his body is the bread.
But no, I first off, yes. Second off, I could not be quenched. I would not be shamed by the people there. They'd be like, oh man, he's really down in a lot, and I'm like, fucking give me your rotisserie chicken, my dude. I'll eat both of ours. And then I leave, and then I'm just, like, not full again. God, that is how you create a problem.
Eric, but, so, say that you only have enough money to get one magical restaurant painting commissioned. Where is it?
Man, Metzi. You might know that during college, I took an economics course with a man who had the voice to put asleep like every. It was astounding. 100 people class, 90% of them were asleep. This dude had like a magical power, and it was all in his voice. I don't understand. He's like one of those like reverse sirens. No one was attracted to him. Just all went to sleep. So whatever the opposite of that flute is that you play to Snorlax, that's what he could do. So anyways, I would eat the Italian nightclub from Jimmy John's, the number 9 on the menu, right before that class, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I now, whenever I eat the Italian nightclub, I think of economics. Like, I had to, my studying trick for that class was just to eat the number 9 Italian nightclub from Jimmy John's.
While you're taking the test.
No, I aced that class. The onion's still fresh on my breath. I did not get any ladies to kiss me in that course. Because I smelled like the number 9 Italian nightclub from Jimmy John's. And that, I think, is probably what a health potion tastes like. Metzger, can I get a synopsis? Today we're just talking about two episodes of Delicious Vision, because we didn't get a new episode of the Witch and the Beast. So let's talk about Delicious in Dungeon for a minute.
I think we actually did get an episode of Witch and the Beast. Like, I found it, but I'm more than happy to talk about.
We did miss a so I watched the episode for it. We can talk about both.
I didn't watch it since you said you couldn't find it.
hold up. Oh, okay.
Like I checked to see if it was there, and I was like, oh yeah, we've got one. In the first episode we watch, we decide to combat hunger by not literally eating a monster, but entering that monster's world, eating what they have, and then being rescued by our party members.
So, Metzger, there's like a weird subplot going on here of like a king baby being born and like coming into power, the father being poisoned and all that, somebody recognizing him and like blaming him for it. There's like something going on, a story being told behind these paintings. And I was so invested in that story and I never got the payoff.
Yeah, we don't really get to see what the fuck is going on. Like, someone poisons the king.
I thought there was going to be something related to, like, the overall story of this dungeon and the structure of the dungeon, why it exists, the world at large. No.
I wonder if it'll happen later.
I sure hope so.
Because remember, the whole point of this dungeon is that, like, an evil warlock or crazed magician or something shows up and curses the dungeon. And the king eventually makes his way out and says, hey, I grant my kingdom to whoever can free my people. They're still down there.
And maybe that's one of the king? Maybe that is the son is the king?
Yeah, maybe he was the last one in the line in the royal family before this curse kicked in.
I always get so frustrated by how good the food sometimes looks in this show.
Yeah, do you?
I'm like, I wish I were having that as I'm eating my pre-made fitness meals.
I'm really wondering if they're going to come out with an official cookbook.
God, I would eat that so freaking fast. I have like a on my shelf, I have like a Dungeons and Dragons like cookbook.
Oh, yeah,
like
I've
how
seen
to make
that
a feast thing and all that. I decided to buy that for $35 at the local game store. And I've made a handful of those items and they're pretty good. They're not like the best, but some of them are just like, you know, kind of bacon wrapped asparagus and things. Nothing too crazy. Some of them are like, all right, fucking buckle up. We're making a salmon, like a big one. You know, first off, go catch one in the river. Yeah, so we dive into some paintings, get saved. I mean, we eat some food, but it doesn't stay in our belly. And then somebody's like, hey, you were at the baby's crowning, and also the coronation.
This is kind of the problem with elves.
Every single time you're fucking around, something's up.
Yeah, you're at the birth, you're at his wedding where his dad died, you're at the coronation, you're eating way too fucking much. I'm gonna gouge your eyes out now.
And listen, we don't want to gouge your ears out with this one. That's where we'll probably stop for the first episode. Hey, check us out on Anime Tour Bus on Instagram, anime_bus on Twitter, now known as X. And check us out at miyuandweeboo.wordpress.com. Mesker, we watched the second episode today. And I have to ask you a weird question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I was waiting for permission. This is the episode, obviously, where I start talking about like what it means to, you know, be deprived of mana and stuff, yada yada. Mesker, if I am sexually attracted to a woman who is well above my age, is that gilf territory? Is that? Let me ask you that: if she's an elf and she's like 200 plus years old. Is that not gilf territory, is it? We're not gilfing around, are we?
The way that I tend to view it is that you have to frame it through the lens of age of maturity for the race.
Okay.
And that sounds kind of weird for me to say out loud, but I would imagine that the age of maturity for an elf is a lot higher than our age of maturity. So I don't think, I'm going with, I don't think it's Gilf.
No one's going to argue that if you're with like a 50-year-old elf, that isn't cradle robbing, like, right? So that's too young, right? But at like 200 years, yeah, she looks like she's in her 20s. Okay, cool. Like she's pretty, got the long ears that go all the way down, right?
I don't understand where you're going with this though, because this is not, none of this is what I was thinking of. Oh, we didn't talk about Chilchuck and the Mimic.
Yeah, we didn't. You know,
I was sitting here thinking, like, when did we talk about Chilchuck?
Reverse course. Hey, Metzger, how do you feel about Mimics?
Fuck Mimics.
I like the idea. Okay. So this is just between you and me. This is a secret.
And the listener.
This is a secret, listener. You can't tell nobody. In the past, a DM trick that I've done is give them a health potion that's actually a mimic.
Why would you do that?
Because I think it's hilarious to be in the final boss fight and be like, you all stand back. I got this. And he's got, like, you know, the barbarian with like 20 HP left, you know, down in a health potion to fight the final boss. And then the health potion is the mimic.
You are such a troll.
I think it's hilarious.
It is entertaining to hear about on my side of the table.
The not receiving side of it. Yeah, for sure. The barbarian's going to... Well, but that's the fun. We got to have a person that we point and laugh at. That's how jokes happen.
But definitely, if I were sitting at that table with you, we would go to hands.
How fucking dare you? The final BBG, we're just like, oh no.
We've probably been, if we're at the final boss of a D&D campaign, this has been 6 months coming. That means that we've been doing this shit for 6 fucking months, every goddamn Tuesday for 6 months, except for all those times where somebody called out.
And you're not gonna get blue balled by a mimic.
And you're gonna fucking prank me with a goddamn mimic in the final boss. I'm just gonna flip this table and we're gonna fucking fight. And that's, turns out, giving me a mimic in a potion bottle turns me into the final boss.
This was my plan all along. Me behind my screen. Yes! As the punch comes in and makes contact with my cheek, my eyes alight in glory. Metzger, some people don't like mimics.
I don't. Sometimes I like mimics if they're cute. Like, if they're that correct level of spooky cute.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's it. It's the only time I like a mimic.
I've done a mimic couch before in, like, a lounge room and stuff, but, like, drew it out on the map to be, like, very clearly, like, you know, blood around the couch and stuff. And they're like, ha-ha, what happened here? And then, like...
I would sit on that.
The dumb person of the party, like, threw down, tossed into a beanbag style into the couch. Like, and I was like, all right, we are now in cutscene mode.
So Chilchuck hates mimics.
He's had a bad time.
These are his greatest adversary.
It's fun to me that you have to pick the lock of the thing. The mimic doesn't just, like, open its mouth and get you.
No, because it's a mimic. It's got to be believable.
Yeah. But there comes a full time around, right? So he's like, oh, that's a mimic. I don't want to fucking deal with that. And then doesn't tell other people about it.
Yeah. He's just like, whatever. Let's just go to bed, wake up, leave the mimic alone, get the fuck out of here.
Ends up trapped in the room with the mimic. We can all see that coming from a million miles away.
Yeah, it's the thing that he believes is a mimic is not actually a mimic. Now, I will say something I love about this universe and that I've never seen anyone do before. The mimic was just a giant hermit crab.
I know, right? Like, that's fun. You know what really got me? Was the life cycle of the coin bugs and the mimic.
Yeah, they are harmonious.
Kind of. So the bugs eat the mimics.
Yeah, but it takes like a long time.
And yeah. Like they get in the bellies, lay their eggs, have like a whole life cycle and stuff like that. And so you'll find chests full of like, you know, the like gold and shit like that that you think is actually just the loot bugs.
Chilchuck does it. Chilchuck overcomes this issue. Saves the treasure bug for no fucking reason. Turns out the treasure bug would have totally ruined that mimic. And everybody gets to eat hermit crab.
And it is delicioso. And they even have some left over. It's great.
Yeah.
Slide us into the next episode. So, our dwarf boy isn't a big fan of magic. Can't even, like, do it good because his beard is, like, apparently not pretty enough.
He's so fucking oily.
He's got so much blood and guts and oil in his beard
that it makes him too insulated, so the magic can't penetrate.
Which apparently she talked about before. She was doing up her hair, making herself look pretty for the day and all that. She's like, oh, it's just that's magic requires you to have good hair. That's everybody knows that.
So she seems like she just enjoys taste. She doesn't want to be sweaty and gross any longer than she has to. She's a very civilized girl.
That's canonical in like many games and many like books and stuff like that. That like, you know, the wizard wears like robes and stuff like that so that the magic can flow through them. It lowers their armor class or, you know, that makes them more, you know, susceptible to physical damage, but ultimately makes them able to, you know, cast and throw around magic and things like that. So the long, flowy, pretty nice hair and stuff like that kind of blends into that overall concept.
Absolutely. And also, she's just a teenage girl.
Sorry, she's like 200 plus years old.
Yeah, but she's like a late teenage girl.
I'd put her in like her 20s.
I did say late teens. Mm. I wouldn't say 20s. Like,
listen, I'm here for the gilfs, Metsy. I used to be terrified that all animals were secretly waiting for their opportunity to jump on my bones. And like,
I don't necessarily think that fear should have been relinquished.
Metzger, your dog specifically wants my bones.
Yes, she does.
She's first off whispered in the night, like under my door, said, Eric, I crave your bones. You were asleep at the time, and I was in your guest room, and she did in fact obtain like a demonic voice and crave my bones. Luckily, the door was closed, and she has yet to figure out how those work. But she did confide in me that she wants my bones outside of my body.
That tracks.
I'm just real worried about kind of the security and safety around, you know, i.e. my bones. And when I discover that there's water horses in this world, my first thought is, well, how can I protect my bones in this situation?
Water horses?
Did you not fucking watch episode 6?
I did, but I just thought that you were going to call them by their actual name.
Which were?
You don't know what those are called?
Yeah, they're the, fucking, oh, man, it's escaping me. I had it earlier.
They're Kelpies.
Yeah. Fucking Kelpies. Mermaid horses.
I love Kelpies. Bitches will drag you down into the deep and drown you.
Yeah, I don't like that. especially when they break out the big point teeth and they're like, give me the bones.
They are 100% going to eat you, bones and all.
And he was like, but I know this specific one. This one's my friend. I've been feeding him a lot. I'm actively feeding him right now. He's eating out of my hand. They're like, no, no, no. That's them trying to get on your good terms, because then they'll eat your bones. And he's like, I don't think they're going to eat my bones. 5 seconds later, eating his bones. Or trying to.
They are totally going for his bones.
And it goes good for like 5 seconds. And then the horse is like, we're not going across the lake anymore. I'm going to go down.
I'm going to drag you into the deep. And when you stop breathing, I'm going to eat you.
Break them bones, cross my teeth. Yeah. So then we fight back. We have a big horse fight, which honestly, great. Horse, stab a horse. I'm a big fan of it. He's obviously upset. He thought that this was his friend. Instead, the horse tried to get his bones.
They murder the Kelpie, it's only right that he is the one that cleans its carcass.
That's the ethical thing, right?
And out he wants respect. To do it himself.
Yeah. He knew that Kelpie the most.
He knew up that until the Kelpie point that better it, than any other living person.
Until it tried to kill him. But that's just instinctual, right? It's that scorpion on the frog story.
Yes.
You know, the famous one. So it couldn't help it. It just wants to drag. That's its nature. So, I don't know. And then we make some, like, nice fat. I knew the second she asked for the fat, she's going to make him a soap.
She's going to make a very nice soap. And since she caves, since she's like, yeah. Meanwhile, while they're working furiously on those projects.
Metzger, does eating a humanoid, like, does that feel like a weird...
demi-human?
Yeah, something human... When it has arms and shoulders and, like, you know, visible fingers, can wield tools and stuff. Shit, Metzger, would you eat a monkey?
No, I fucking hate monkeys.
But, like, a fish monkey?
The original mermaid?
Evolution. If you see the rise of the mermaid, it's monkey to fish. It goes back into the water.
Do you not know the first ever, like, sideshow mermaid?
No, no, what?
Oh. Of course I know this. They speculate that the Fiji mermaid, it's a mummified mermaid that was, like, on a sideshow. They speculate that it's actually just a monkey's torso sewn to the bottom of a fish.
Metzger, we apparently there's some, like, people that they've gotten the wrong impression of us, and now they're out after us. And then we find their dead bodies again.
No, I really just want to talk about Laos. He's gone through the trouble of memorizing the actual sirens song and interrupts them singing it. And they are so displeased with his singing that they fucking swim off.
The equivalent of that is me at a Taylor Swift concert up in the front row. And you were Romeo and you were throwing pebbles. And they're like, we haven't done that one in a decade, Eric. And I'm over here like, and daddy said stay away from Juliet.
I loved that spot so much that I made the producer go back so we could watch it again.
Their look of just absolutely like,
this guy.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Fuck you, man. But also the way that the camera zooms in on his face.
Oh, like, I thought he was haunted.
He's just walking along on the water, just fucking screaming the words to this song.
Oh, no, no, no. I thought the boy was haunted. That was my first thought. Then sirens happen. Then his jaw is like unhinging during this. The only other time we see it worse is when there's a big weird water thing attacking them that shoots water bullets, and they are all running for their lives, and their body physics don't make sense, and
I
it gets
love
pretty
it.
chaotic.
I love when it gets big cartoon or kind of meme energy. I love it when the art goes wild.
And that's kind of the point where she's fighting her heart out, saying like, hey, we gotta fight this water boy with fire.
Shall we
And
kill a
she drains
Kraken?
herself dry with energy. This was such like an exciting episode.
There was a lot of action.
Is that real, Metzger? Can you kill an octopus just by like a little boop in the top of its head?
I'm pretty sure if you stab any cephalopod in between the eyes, it'll die.
I don't know if that's true or not.
You don't think if you stabbed something between the eyes, it would die?
I don't know about octopi, Metzy.
I'm gonna Google how to kill a cephalopod. Oh my God, I can't believe it brought up a fucking YouTube video.
Daily Mail, the stomach-churning moment a New Zealand bushman kills a giant octopus by biting it right between the eyes.
Eric, I just found a 23-second long YouTube video of someone karate chopping a squid in the head and
Please
killing it.
share instantly. I need to watch this so badly. Holy shit, and it turned white too.
Yep.
Holy shit. I can kill a squid with my karate. Holy
You're like, since she stabbed this in between the eyes with a fucking harpoon, and I don't believe that that could happen. And I
And
sent
now,
you a 20
literally a
second.
minute later, I'm like, I can kill them with karate. I'm gonna watch that again. That was neat. Nature can handle and is already kind of accounted for you. It's like, when I tell people, Eric, I know, people say, Eric, I know that you love Arby's, but like it seems like you're spending so much on Arby's. And then I show them my budget, which the specific section kind of right below my house payment and stuff like that is Arby's. And yeah, they've made a bit of money from me this fiscal year, but who doesn't want their roast beef? It's the best roast beef around, and I'll die on that hill. Fuck you, New England. You ain't got good roast beef.
Jesus Christ.
Coming at me thinking that you got good
Fucking
roast
Jesus Christ. I don't even want to touch
beef.
that. So you're like, all of New England, Arby's is the supreme beef.
Okay, I want you to know that there is a place near my house that I won't give its exact thing, but they have on their sign the words roast beef. Okay. And I regularly get their pulled pork sandwiches because they are very good. And then I have gone there often enough that the people there know me. I've met the owner's kid. Like, we have good conversations. He was asking me opinions about because they changed the pork. And I was like, yeah, the texture just didn't hit me right. And it felt the taste felt like less, if that makes sense. And he
And
goes,
they're like,
that is exactly.
where the fuck are you from? Why do you sound that way? They're like, look at the, we gotta do what he says. He's Southern.
And no. The guy, I think the guy is like foreign himself. He's I think like Jamaican or something. I don't know. But
Ooh.
he's very cool, and he's like, yeah, that is exactly what I thought. Like he was like, yeah, the taste just felt less, and I was like, yeah, man. And so we were talking, and he goes, yeah, I'm not gonna order from that vendor again. And so he's gonna stick with his. I helped him make a pulled pork based decision. And I explicitly told him, because they're like, what do you think about our roast beef? And I'm like, not as good as Arby's. And I could see the pain that it caused him. But I go, listen, I realize that mine is an unpopular opinion. But, like, I feel like Arby's is the best roast beef. And nowhere have I ever found a supreme version of that. And I think I hurt him a little. But
yeah, he lost all respect for you.
But he knows my order.
Do you know that in that moment you could have been like the best case study for bipolar disorder anyone has ever seen? To where you had gone from like the highs and grandiosity of I helped someone make a pork-based decision for their small business, yeah, to you will never be as good as Arby's.
I don't know what to say. Get good, punk. Metzger, it's about that time.
Yeah.
The bus is wrapping around. We're starting to slow down. The Arby's is settling in, and golly, do I need a nap. Metzger, I hope that you've had fun today. I hope the listener has had fun today. I hope that we've explored so many aspects of Delicious in Dungeon today. We'll be back next week with our regular song and dance. And we hope that you're having a great time with us, listener. We hope that, you know, when we pull up, you might take a second and check out Science Snacks, which is a podcast that I occasionally sometimes find the energy to do. And I have a nice little backlog for you. You might be able to go through about the latest and greatest in scientific research. Check it out where podcasts are found near you. Hey, Metzger and I are really doing a great job keeping up with the social media. That's right, it's mostly Metzger. Check us out at Anime Tour Bus on Instagram, anime_bus on Twitter, and hey, check us out at animetourbus.wordpress.com. Thanks for hanging out with us, and until next time,
bye.